Right, so on Daf Nun, we're going to learn Daf Nun Tes. We're going to start from right on the top, the last word on the first line, with Masud.
Give us a running star, please.
Exactly. So the background over here is that we are discussing when you have something that is, it could either be mutter or asr, but Bedarach Klal, we're talking about something that's asr, that you went ahead and you replanted it. And we're not discussing something that completely is disintegrated and then a new tree grows. Let's say, for example, you plant a grape seed, which completely disintegrates, and then a vine grows, and then you have new grapes. We're not discussing that case, because over there, it'll be clear that we're talking about bittul. Rather, we're talking about the type of thing that when you plant it, the thing that you plant really stays somewhat intact. In essence, it's generally there, and then more grows on top of that. Okay, so that's fine, which a lot of things, and the classic example that we've been using, and the Gemara is going to continue to use, is an onion. You take an onion, you take the bulb of an onion, you plant it in the ground, and then it grows bigger and more, and so on. Now, the issue is as follows. When you're having the bulb itself is usher, for whatever reason, there's lots of examples that we've given so far, it's asr, and then it continues to grow more and more and more. The question is, and those things that grow are growing beheter, because they're not the isr itself, they're now growing in a way that it would technically be considered mutter. So the question is, does that heter override the isr so that now you are only left with heter? That's, excuse me. That's the Gemara's general question that we've been discussing so far. In the bottom of Nun Chesamad Aleph, in the bottom of Nun Chesamad Beis, the Gemara concluded that it would be usher, that even though there's more that continues to grow, it's still considered usher, because by Shvius was the exception to the rule. Shvius, it says, all we care about is when it grew. If it grew during Shvius, it's usher. If it grew not during Shvius, it's mutter. But when it comes to, when it comes to all the other isurim or potential isurim in the Torah, then we say, no, what you planted is a new, if it grows beheter, then whatever the new growth is, that's what's going to dominate, and that's what's going to control, and everything is going to be, I said it backwards. When it comes to the other isurim, the original thing, if the original plant was usr, started the isr, it's going to be considered to remain usr. Right. It's going to remain usr. Right? That's what we're saying over here. That was the running start. Although we had various shitas throughout the daf, really this goes all the way back to Daf Nun Zayin. On Daf Nun Zayin, we brought some shitas that said it was mutter, and we brought some shitas that said it was asr. But the maskana that we had on the bottom of Nun Chesam Abayz was, Shvius just depends on when it grows, that's all I care about. And by other Isurim, it's going to be asr. However, for purposes of this next line of the Gemara, because we're going to start with a masiv, we're going to start by asking a question. The question that the Gemara is about to ask is specifically on Shitas Rabbi Yanai that was quoted on Daf Nun Zayin. And in Daf Nun Zayin, Rabbi Yanai said it's all mutter. If the extra growth that came through is mutter, then I don't care about the fact that the initial planting, the thing that we initially planted, is going to be usher. According to Rabbi Yanai, the new plant that's mutter is going to be mevatalit, and it's going to remain mutter. Now, if you remember that shitas Rabbi Yanai, now we can understand and appreciate what the Gemara is about to ask right at the top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. But that's the sugya, and we're still in the sugya. And Amir Tashem today we'll finish the big picture in the sugya. Is, does the new growth override the original growth? That's the question. Do we say that now it's five times the amount, so it's so much more, and if it's mutter, the original growth shouldn't matter, that it's usher, and so on and so forth. But we're still dealing with that question overall, as we go into the specific cases over here. So the Gemara now, let's start reading. The Gemara on top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph, the last word on the line is Mosiv Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma asks, and it basically quotes our Mishnah. So let's read it. Koinim peiros ha'elu alai. a person makes a neder and he says these specific payers are going to be usher for me, or he says kainim hein alpi or kainim hein lifi, whatever lashon that he uses, he wants these payers to be usher. So the halacha is, and this is all a quote from our Mishnah, usher b'chilufein u'b'gidulein. We say that they're usher even what you might swap them out for. So again, if I made a neder and I use the example of an apple, just goes, it's always the classic example, not necessarily relevant specifically in this case, but if I, it's usher b'chilufein, even if I switch it out, so I switch an apple for an orange, or b'giduleyen, if I plant the apple and it grows, whatever grows is going to be usher, because I said specifically this apple, so whatever comes from it is going to be usher. Now again, an apple is not really a good example, as you'll see in a moment, but that's just to illustrate the point. Then, the quote, the second half of the Mishnah says, Sha'ani oichel v'sha'ani toyim, if I say in general that I'm not going to even eat, I'm not going to taste, but I don't say specifically a specific fruit or a specific group of fruits, I just say generally I'm not going to eat the fruit. So then, it's mutar b'chilufein u'b'gidulein. So then what we swap out is going, or whatever grows from that is going to be mutar, because then, in that case, I only meant specifically the fruits that are in existence at that moment, but anything else, once it gets swapped out and it's different, is no longer included in the nether. Okay, all of that is the Mishnah. And the Mishnah then finishes with this line, which is relevant for our purposes. We say about that, but davar shezarei kol. When we say that whatever grows new is totally not included, is because the thing that you planted is completely disintegrated, is no longer here, and what is new is new. However, here we go. Avol b'davar she'ein zarei kol, but something that the original plant does not go away. It continues, it just grows more. Afilu gidule gidulin asurin. Even those things that grow from them and grow from that, it doesn't matter how many, so to speak, generations you go and how many replants you do, it is going to continue to be usher because the isser that's there remains usher. Now this is talking about, even in our case that we just discussed, where you took something that was in fact usher, nobody's arguing that it was originally usher, and you planted it and more and more grew, that we've been saying till now, and again, especially specifically Akasha on Rav Yanai, that says that when you have more and more growing, if the more is predominant, if the more is a roiv, we say that the heter overrides the isser and the whole thing turns into heter. But it seems, and this is difficult for Rav Yanai to say that it's mutter, because this is a Mishnah that we're quoting. And the Mishnah seems to conclude, right, if it's another Shita, you can say Rav Yanai argues. But this is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah seems to say that it's going to be, as long as Zare Ein Kola, which means it continues to exist, and it's just growing on top of that, doesn't matter that more and more is growing. It doesn't matter that the more is Heter. Lemaisa, it's going, the Isser is going to remain Usser. In fact, we could even say that even the thing that grows is going to be usher. Okay, so that's the Gemara's question, a very straight out contradiction. Is the new growth mutter or is the new growth usher? What the Gemara is specifically asking on Rav Yanai is because Rav Yanai's case was that you took a batzel shel truma, an onion, and you planted it, and it grew, and so we say that everything is going to be mutter. So it lines up similarly to be the same type of case that we're talking about over here, where you had something that was Isser, that you planted it, and even though the things that grew from it are going to be mutter, right, so it's going to be mutter. Rav Yanai said, therefore everything is mutter, and our Mishnah seems to imply that it continues to be usser. Okay, so that is the Gemara's question, very straightforward question. Is it mutter or usser? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Shani Kainomois Hoyo V'Iboy Mitchell Alayu. So kainomas are going to be different. So why? Since you could always go to a rav and bishel to undo it. Havalei kadavashi yeshloi matirin. So now it goes into the category of the type of food that will become automatically or naturally mutter. Ve'en bito beroiv, and therefore it's not going to be bato beroiv. So basically, the Gemara is saying that you're right. Rav Yanai could say mutter, and our Mishnah can say usher. It's not a contradiction, because our Mishnah is, so to speak, the exception to the rule. Because our Mishnah is talking about something that we consider a davar she'yesh lo matirin, as we've discussed numerous times. Davar she'yesh lo matirin is, since it's going to have what I refer to as a natural process of becoming heter, so there's no reason for us to give it the additional heter of batel b'roiv. So we don't allow it to become bottle. So our mishnah and kainamos, the gemara is being bechadish that when a person makes a neder and makes it also through a neder, that is considered something that will naturally become mutter anyway, because, and we'll see why this is true in a moment, because the person can always go and be shoyel, he could always go to a rav and say, I don't want this neder to be a neder. So it has, so to speak, another way. For now I'll keep it more generic. It has another process through which it could become mutter. So there's no reason for us to say that it'll become mutter through bittul b'roiv. See, bittul b'roiv is when you have something that's going to be usser, it's going to remain usser forever, and it's just going to create more and more isser. So there we say, if it's going to be usser, it is be'etzem usser, it's naturally usser, so then eventually it could be bottle. But if you have something that itself will have a heter anyway, as the Ran in other places said, that we'd rather wait for the heter than rely on the bittul b'roiv. Bittul b'roiv is a very, it's a big chiddush. Again, we're used to it, so it's common to us. But if you think about it in concept, it's a very big chiddush, and it's actually very relevant to our gemara over here. Because basically, what we're saying is that even though it's usser, since it's we override it with so much more, we're going to say that it's going to be batal. We're going to say that it's going to be batal. As we'll see in a moment, is because usually you can't taste it; it doesn't affect us anymore. But the truth of the matter is, the isser is still there. It's just that the heter overrides it. The heter says it's such a small factor that we're not going to care about it. But really, be'etzem, it's usser. That's what relying on roiv does for us. Relying on roiv says that I don't care about the fact that it's usser. It doesn't impact me. As opposed to if it's a davar she'yesh lo matirin and you rely on the heter, then it's much better. Because if you're relying on the heter, then the heter it's literally going to be heter. That isser is going to become heter. The isser is going to become heter, so it's mutter, so we'd much rather rely on that. So therefore, just to sum up and very quickly, Rav Yanai was talking about truma, which is your regular case of isser, and that's going to remain usser. What? Shvius. No, he was talking about truma. Rav Yanai was talking about, I'll just read the words of Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai said, Amar Rav Yanai, Batzel shel truma shenatu, Shanatu, Rav Gedulov, Alekur, Mutter. Right? Rav Yanai is talking about Truma, regular case of regular Isser. And that's going to remain Usser forever, because Truma is going to remain Usser forever. So therefore, at least at this point of the Gemara, we think it's going to remain Usser forever. And even so, we say we have no choice, we have to say that we're going to rely on the Bittul B'roiv. Whereas when you're talking about a Neder, which is not going to stay Usser, we'd rather not rely on roiv and make it a bittul. We'd rather say, let's wait for it to become mutter. Let's wait for it to be totally mutter, and then you don't have the issue anymore. Because if we're going to say that the only reason why nedarim are different is because it's a davar she'yesh lo matir, why? Why is it considered a davar she'yesh lo matirin? Because you could go and ask a shaila on it. That's what makes it a davar she'yesh lo matirin. If you go to a rav and he says it's mutter, it becomes totally mutter. And that's why we say we don't want to rely on any other type of heter like rav or anything. We want to rely on the davar she'yesh on the heter. Go to the rav. If that's your logic, why the case of the Mishnah is different, Vahare Truma, which again, as we already established, is the case that Rav Yanai is talking about, Vahare Truma, Diiboy Mitchell Ubatle Beroiv. Sorry, Diiboy Mitchell Olaf. The way to read it is that Truma happens to be a type of thing that after I make Truma, I can go to a Rav and say, you know what? I didn't really want to mean to choose this apple. I wanted to choose something else. And the Rav will say, okay, again, if there's a good reason for it, but the Rav will say, fine, no problem. That truma is not truma anymore. Go start over again. And therefore, so we see that it is also something that does have another way of making it heter. It has a davar she'yesh lo matir. And still the halacha is ubatli b'roiv. And it still has a bittul b'roiv, which doesn't make sense. Again, based on the rules that we created a rule that bittul b'roiv is only reserved for those things that have no other way of becoming heter. But the moment you have another way, another process, in this case the process is you go to the rav and say, I don't want it to be truma, just like I don't want it to be a neder, then it's considered quote unquote a davar she'yesh lo matir, meaning it has another way of becoming mutter. So then, it should not, roiv, we shouldn't rely on roiv. Roiv is again the last the last resort. Over here, it's not the last resort over here. Let him go to the Rav and be mevatalit. Now, where do we see that it's batal b'raiv? The Tanan. Okay, so here we're going to get into the halachas specifically of how truma works. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Saw truma to meya. Shenaflo lepachos mimeya chulin. So I had one truma. Now, also a unique halacha about truma is as follows. When you give truma to a kohen, so the kohen has to eat it. If it becomes tamei, the kohen is not allowed to eat it anymore. It's tamei. And you're not allowed to even use it for any other purpose. There are certain exceptions to the rules. Sometimes you can burn it and so forth. But the point is, you're not allowed to eat it. It has no real use anymore. Okay, it's totally, so therefore, we say it like this. So if it fell into a pile of less than 100, which by truma, the ratio of making something heter is not just a roiv, and it's not shishim like we always think, that's the number that we always pop into our head, but rather, it is a 1 in 100 ratio. If it falls into less than 1 in 100, the entire pile that it falls into becomes the status of truma. The problem is that this is truma tamea, that you have no use for it. That's the problem. So it happens to be in this case that it fell into a pile of chulin, which really, before you touched this pile, it would have been perfectly usable for anything you want. Still, the halacha is, since that truma is not batal tarkav, you have to just wait for it to rot. There's nothing you can do. You have to put it to the side and just wait for it to become no use. Okay, that's what the Mishnah tells us when it's less than 100, meaning that it is not batal b'raiv. So the implication of that is, but if it falls into a group of 100 other apples, dates, whatever you want to talk about, tala. So over there, you could pull out the one and make that one the truma, and the rest becomes mutter. Now, so we see that there is a concept of bittul b'raiv in the context of truma. And again, based on the rule that we just created a moment ago, we said, "What do you mean? If there's a sheila, meaning I can go to a rav and be mevatel it that way, I should not be relying on bittul b'raiv at all." So that means the rule we created for nedarim is not really a real rule. That because of the fact that I could be shoyal on it, it should be considered a davar sheyesh lo matir. So why is it also? The Gemara answers like this. Now, Amri b'truma b'yad koyin askinon d'loy matul ishala. So your whole basis for asking this question was because you said I could go to a rav and be shoyal. That statement is only true before I actually hand over the truma to a kohen. So before I hand it over to the kohen, I could say, you know what? I don't want to give him this apple. I want to give him a different apple. Fine. So you go to the rav. The rav undoes it for you. So that's where the concept of being shoyal applies. However, once you hand it to the kohen, and that apple, again, I'm using the apple, which is not really a good example, but just for consistency purposes. So when I give that apple to the kohen, that apple remains truma forever, and there's nothing you can do about it. And whatever happens, happens. So if it becomes tamei, it's tamei, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, it'd be very easy. Otherwise, anytime something happens to it, you just go to a rav and undo it and start over again. But that's not true once you give it to the kohen. So now it makes sense. So true, the case that we're discussing is a case that you already gave it to the kohen. So there is no other process. So therefore, it's not a so you have to rely on Reif. However, to say that that's the case over here doesn't really fit with the entire Mishnah. So, ihachi, if so, that the case was that you already gave it to the Kohen, aim a sefer. Let's look at the end of the Mishnah to see if that, in fact, is really the case of the Mishnah. Because it says, im hoisa tahira. If it's tar, now remember, till now, the first line of the Mishnah we were talking about was the truma was tameh, and it depended on whether it was 100 or less than 100. Now we're saying, let's talk about that the truma did not become tamei. It did not become tamei. It's really tahor. It's perfectly good, legitimate truma. Timkar l'kayin. You have to sell it to a kayin. Meaning, you have to sell the entire pile. If it's less than 100, you have to sell the entire pile to a kayin. Now, what we just said was that you already gave it to a kayin, and it belongs to the kayin. Why does the kohen have to sell it to another kohen? That doesn't make any sense. If it's in his possession, why is he selling anything? He should just eat, fine. So the halacha should be, that kohen has to eat all 100 apples as truma. So let him eat it as truma. Why does he have to sell it? So the Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, it's the fact that we're talking about selling it to a kohen implies that it's still in the hands of a Yisrael. Also, if it's still in the hands of Yisrael, why can't he be shoyal on it?
So the Gemara says we're talking about a unique case. Al Yisrael shenaflu loy mi beis avi imoy kohen askinan. We're talking about a case where it is actually in the hands of Yisrael at the moment, who cannot eat it. However, he got it through an inheritance from his grandfather, who was a kohen. His grandfather was a kohen, received it as truma. So once the kohen received it, no backsies, no tracksies. You can't undo it anymore. It is truma forever. Then that grandfather, who was a kohen, died. It went as a Yerusha to his mother, who married a regular Yisrael. And then through Yerusha, it goes to him, the grandson, who is a regular Yisrael. But this regular Yisrael, there's nothing wrong with a Yisrael owning truma. He can't eat it, but he can own it. So now he owns this truma. But the problem, and it's since it went through the hands of a kohen already, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be truma forever. However, he can't eat it, so what are you supposed to do with it? So it must be that he has to sell it to a kohen. So he has to sell it to a kohen. Okay, so we worked it out so that it's perfect. It's in the hands of Yisrael, but it belonged to a kohen. So there's no possibility of undoing it. So it is regular truma, so we have to rely on Rav. And the halacha is, when you're not relying on Rav, you have to sell it back to a kohen. Okay, problem with that, with saying that that's the case. Well, Ketani Sefer, let's look at the rest of the case of the Mishnah. It says, the Sefer says, Timkar l'kayin chutz midmei oisoi sa. You sell it to the kayin for the value of, let's say, just keep it simple, every apple's a dollar. Okay? So now you have 101 apples. So when you sell it to the kohen, you sell it for $100, not for $101. Why? Because as a Yisrael, you can't sell a kohen truma that he already is entitled to. You have to give the truma itself has to be given for free. That's the chiyuv of a Yisrael. To give truma, he has to give it for free. So now the problem is, if we're talking about that he yarshened it, that even it's in the hands of Yisrael now, but he was entitled to that apple, to that piece of truma, because he got it as Yerusha. Why does he have to give that apple to another kohen for free? If he, let's say he owned that apple, just that single apple. Now, as Yisrael, he can't eat it, so he doesn't have to give it to another kohen for free. He's allowed to sell it to a kohen. Might have to sell it at a reduced rate, but he's allowed to sell it to a kohen. So why does the Mishnah specifically say that he has to sell it, but he's not allowed to charge the value of that one piece of truma? Why not? It's his. He owns it. He should be, it's not something that he has to give, it's not his chiv to give truma anymore, it's truma that's in his possession. So if that's the case, that the Mishnah is saying that the case over here is that he has to sell it, but cannot charge for that truma piece, that means we're talking about that it's in the hands of the original Yisrael, that hasn't yet given the truma. So since he hasn't yet given the truma, that's why he can't sell it, he has to give it for free. That's his chiyuv, to give it for free. But the problem is that if we're talking about that's the case, that it's true, that it's still in the hands of the original Yisrael, so why can't he go to a Rav and be shoyl? That he can go to a Rav and Bishoyal, then it should be considered a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, and as a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, we should not be relying on Rav at all. Back to the original question, if you want to compare it to Nedarim. In Nedarim, we said Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin doesn't have Bitul B'Rav, and by Truma, in the way we set up the case, is now in the category of a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, at least the way we understand it, and even so, we say that there is a Bitul. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Eima. So finally, we have to make the distinction as follows. Bishloima kainamois mitzvah la chule alehed. There is actually a mitzvah. It's not just random that you could go and ask a Rav to be mevatel your neder. Rather, there's a mitzvah, and as we'll see, it's a little bit more than a mitzvah. We are encouraged, and you're supposed to go and undo the neder. Mishum de Rabbi Nosson, because Rabbi Nosson taught us this halacha when it comes to nedarim in general. D'amar Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson teaches us, kol ha-noider, anybody who makes a neder, ki'ilu bon abama. It's as if the mere fact that you're making a neder, that's already building a bama, which you're not supposed to do. And not only that, v'ha-mekayimoy ki'ilu matir aleh. It's even worse. And when you are mekayim the neder, that you think, oh wow, I'm such a tzaddik, I made a neder and I'm keeping my neder, Reb Nosson says that's actually not what you're supposed to be doing. So it's interesting, the Ran on Daf Chaf Beis explains that what's the issue? The issue is that the Torah said what's mutter and what's asr. So imagine the mashal that the Ran himself gives on Chaf Beis is like this.
He says, I know I'm supposed to bring karbanos. I'm bringing karbanos is a big mitzvah. But let's say I decide, going to Yerushalayim is too inconvenient or it doesn't work for me, so I want to bring a karban. So I'm going to bring a karban in my backyard. Why? I did a mitzvah. I brought a karban. So, but we know the halacha is that outside of Yerushalayim, shchutei chutz is mamash aser. So you're bringing a carbon in your backyard, you think you're doing a mitzvah, you're actually doing an aveira. Even though you think you're doing a carbon, it's really an aveira. So that's what Rav Nosson means when he says, when I keep an eder, so you say, oh, I'm such a tzaddik, till now apples were mutter and I made apples aser. That's not what the Torah said. The Torah said apples are mutter. Now it's not time for you to make apples aser. So therefore, it's mamash aser. Anyway, so we see that it's not just a random halacha that you could go to a Rav to undo the neder. Actually, you're supposed to, and you really should. I don't want to use the word must, but it seems like according to Rav Nosson that you must go to a Rav to be shoyel. So that's why it is literally a davar sheyesh lahem atir, because you will go, or we assume that you will go to a Rav to undo the neder. We assume that you will go to undo the neder. Therefore, it has another process to become mutter by going to the Rav and being shoyel. As opposed to, let's finish the sentence, truma my mitzvah la shulei ala. By truma, there is no mitzvah to undo it. Imagine every time you make truma, you'll go to a Rav and undo it. That'll be a crazy system. Then you'll never have truma. It won't work. But, okay, there is an out. There is a possibility, there is a way to undo the truma by going to a Rav, but it's not that you're supposed to, you're not encouraged to do it. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. So therefore, by truma, even though there is a possibility that you could go to a Rav, but that happens to be a far out possibility, that's a just in case emergency exit, you can go to a Rav to be shoyel. But otherwise, the truma that you separated is really truma. And if that's the case, it is not a davar sheyesh lahem atir, because there's no expectation that you're going to undo the truma that you did. It's going to remain truma. And since it's going to remain truma, you're going to have to rely on the heter of roiv in order to be matir. So therefore, that's the major distinction between regular nidarim versus truma. So by nedarim, we say it's a davar sheyesh lahem atirin, and we're going to rely on going to a rav to undo it. So we're not going to rely on rav, and that's why even gedulim are going to be aser, because it's a davar sheyesh lahem atirin. As opposed to truma, you're not going to be shoyel, so therefore it remains aser. So once it remains aser, you need a way out. So you need a way out. There's a concept of rav, and that's what Rav Yanai was talking about when he says that it will be rav. And Rav Yanai's shita is, in general, that the rav you could rely on is even the new growth that you took the isser, you took something that was usher, you planted it, and now it grew more and more leaves, and those leaves that grew are going to be, it's going to be beheter. So that heter overrides more than the isser. So that's why we're going to rely on the rav, because otherwise there is no other, so to speak, reliable way of making it mutter. Okay? There's no expectation that this is going to become mutter through a she'ila. It's going to remain truma forever, and therefore we have to rely on the rav. Shleim Atirin is that it's expected, under natural circumstances, that is what is going to happen. I can predict, so to speak, that that's what's going to happen. By a neder, since you're so pushed and encouraged to go be matter the neder, I can expect that's the heter I'm going to rely on. As a davar sheyesh lahem atirin, I'm going to go to the Rav. By truma, there is no expectation you're going to go to a Rav. And that's why it's not considered, it has to be natural. It has to be, the assumption is that you're going to go to a Rav and be shoyel. By truma, that's not what is expected. That's not what's going to happen. So it's not going to happen, then you can't call it a davar sheyesh lahem atirin, that, oh, let's rely on that. It's such a small possibility that somebody's going to go to a Rav to be shoyel on truma, that it's not really even in the cards. So therefore, we're going to have to rely on a rav. Gemara now continues and says as follows: Gufa. Let's talk about a gemara that we quoted before. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan has another case: Litra betzolim shetikna v'zara. So the case over here was that you already, tikna means you already separated your trumas and meisers from it. No problem. It's perfectly good. V'zara, and then you went ahead and replanted it. Then the halacha is misaseres tefikula, and then it grew. So now it grew, and more of this onion grew. So you pluck that onion out of the ground, you're going to take trumas and meisers to feed the whole thing. Let's use a simple example, that originally the bulb that you planted was 1 ounce, and now you have a big fat onion that's 5 ounces. Okay? So the halacha is you have to give 5 ounces, you have to take meiser, trumas and meisers, according to the cheshbon of 5 ounces on the entire thing. Okay, so that's the halacha that we quoted before. Yosef Rabba, the ka'amar lahash meitzah, and he repeated this halacha. Amalei Rav Chista, so Rav Chista now asked, and we're going to go back and forth on Rav Chista's logic over here. Rav Chista asked, man tzayis lach, who's going to listen to this halacha? Okay, Ula Rabbi Yochanan Rabach, and to what Rabbi Yochanan, your Rebbe, said, that in other words, that the whole thing is, it has to start over again. Heter Shebehen Lehechan Hoach. What happened to the heter that was in there? Remember, the case was that I had my bulb of my onion, I already took trumas and maisos, it was a perfectly legit onion, and then I went ahead and replanted it, and it went from 1 ounce to 6 ounces. So there's 5 more, but there's 6 altogether. So why is the halacha have to take trumas and maisos on 6 ounces? I should only have to take on the 5 that regroup. What happened to the fact that I already took truma on the first original bulb? That's Rav Chista's question. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chista said this to Rabba. So Amar Lei, so Rabba said, Miloi Tnan de Kavosei. No, I'll show you, there's other Mishnais that this is the rule, this is the way it works. Because we have a halacha like this. Bitzolim sheyardu aleim getshamim bitzamchu. So we actually quoted this brisa also before. Or this Mishnah, it's actually a Mishnah before. You have onions, the sheyardu aleim getshamim, that the onion was actually not planted in the ground, but it was sitting on the side. And then it rained on it. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this experiment, but if you take a potato or an onion and you stick it in a cup of water, it will also grow. Just without ground. You just stick it in a cup of water, it grows. So it rained on it. And it's unfruit. And it grew. So the halacha is, now we're turning to non-tesimah days. So it depends. Now, the case was over here, it wasn't just in a cup of water, so don't take that image out of your head. The case was that it was on the ground. It was on the ground, but it rained. It rained on it. So it says, so the halacha is like this. Im hayu olin shelahen shechirin. If the leaves that grew are black, meaning it's always green. It means a very dark green. If it's a dark green, it's a heavy green, asur, it's going to be asur. Now, one piece of information I left out is the case was that this all happened on Shvius, in the 7th year, and whatever grows during the 7th year is going to be considered asur. So if it's black, meaning it's growing, that means it's getting its nutrients from the ground, not just from the rain. The rain is what's causing it to grow, but it's getting its nutrients from the ground, and therefore it's mamish considered shvius and it's aser. Hayriku, but if it's only a little green, so then it really is not really getting nutrients from the ground, it's just growing because onions grow, so then it's going to be mutter. Okay? So we say that it's totally mutter, it's going to be mutter, but that's actually not what we're focused on. We're focused on the first case, that when it's black, we say it's totally usur. So the Gemara asks, v'chish chayrin amaya surin. When the leaves are black, we say the entire onion is going to be usur. So the Gemara asks, lema heter shebehen lehechen holach. What happened to the heter? Remember, the case was that I had a bulb that grew in the 6th year, that was totally mutter, and then it rained. Okay, and it rained and it ended up growing. Yes, it's true that it grew from the ground. The ground helped it, and therefore it's part of Shvius. But what the original bulb did not grow on Shvius. The original bulb grew in the 6th year. So where did that heter go? Why is the entire onion usur? The core of the onion should be mutter. So we see from here, we see from this Mishnah that yes, that what happens is once it regrows and we look at it as one. We don't make the distinction between the middle, the original growth and the new growth. We say once the new growth is more, we say that all we care about is the new growth. So we see that the same thing should be true. The same thing should be true in the case of Trumas and Meisters, that we should just focus on the new growth. Amar Leis, where Rav Chista says no. Mi savris al ikar katani ataisefes katani asurin. We say no. Really, what I originally, really my shita is that whatever was mutter is mutter, and whatever is usur. And even though it says that it's usur, it doesn't mean that the entire onion is usur. It only means whatever the new growth is, that's what's usur. Now, if that's the case, again, we're back to the original question. So then why by trumas and maisos do you have to take trumas and maisos on the whole thing? If the truth of the matter is, all we care about, the new growth is a separate new growth. So therefore, okay, so that's why Rav Chista said, that's why I have a kasha. That's why it bothers me by truma that we ignore the fact that the original part was already trumas and maisos, was already, so to speak, beheter. It already had its trumas and maisos separated. And that's why I have a question. So the Gemara says, 1 second, we're going to go back and forth on whether this statement is true. Hi hachi. If so, that you want to say that the Tanakhama Shita that we just quoted is saying the Isser is only applicable to the new growth, my also Rav Shimon Gamliel Lemeimer. So then, what would Rav Shimon Gamliel, who sounds like he's the end of the Braisa, and sounds like he's arguing, what would he be saying? The Tanya that Rav Shimon Gamliel said, in a, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Lemeimer, Hagodol b'chiyev chayev, Hagodol b'potter potter. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's whole point in the Braisa is to say that there is a difference. Whatever was heter from before remains mutter, and the new growth is going to be usser. Now, if that's Rav Shimon Gamliel's point, making it sound like that's his chiddush, then he's literally saying the same exact thing that the Tanakhama said, that whatever, that when I say usser, I only mean the new growth, implying that the what was already there was totally mutter. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel says the same thing. Mutter is mutter and usser is usser. They're literally saying the same thing. So it doesn't make sense that Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakhama are saying the same thing. As the Gemara itself says, Tanakhama nami hachi yomar. So the Tanakhama also said that. He also said that I only meant the new growth. So the Gemara answers, no. Kula masnisim Rav Shimon Gamliel ketani lo. You thought that Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to say something different than the Tanakhama, so you had a kasha that why is he saying exactly the same thing as the Tanakhama? Really, the whole Mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning that we really say that whatever is mutter, and whatever is usher is usher. Again, all this is to explain why Rav Yochanan had a kasha. That I don't understand. If that's true, that whatever is mutter, then why by truma is, do we ignore the fact that you already took trumas and maestros off to your core? And we're saying, no, ignore that, and we're going to give trumas and maestros off the whole thing. And the answer is like this. There is a difference. The difference is as follows. Va'ad kan loy shamas le the Rav Shimon Gamliel, de loy katarach. See, it happens to be that Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying that this, that you say that the new growth is new, and that we consider it all as one thing, is all talking about where you did not do anything to the process. Remember, because the case that we quoted on the top of the Amid was that it was just sitting on the ground and it rained. I didn't do anything. I didn't plant it. It was just there and it rained, and that's what caused it to grow. So then we say, oh, if I didn't do anything to the growth, then I'm going to look at whatever it was originally as though it was still the original form. And whatever grew, because it just happened to grow. Aval hecha de katarach. But if I made a point out of it that I wanted to be mevatel, well, I replanted it, batel beruva. Then even Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that the original thing is no longer has the status of what it was before I planted it. Because that was the whole point of planting it. The whole point of planting it was I want to start over again. Whatever it was is not relevant anymore. I'm trying to get rid of its status from before, and therefore whatever is new is new. So therefore, again, the explanation is there are two different cases. The case of Truma was, and your question was, how come by Truma I'm giving Meiser on the whole thing, and I ignore the fact that the original core, the bulb, I already took Truma and Meiser? The answer is because I put it back in the ground. And by putting it back in the ground, what I'm saying is, and I'm acknowledging is, forget about what happened beforehand. I'm starting over. Ignore what happened before. I want to start over again, whatever comes out of the ground. The new plant is a new plant. And that's why the whole thing, I take Trumas and Isis off the whole thing, because I purposely sort of got rid of the old. Whereas when the case where we talk about, where we say the new is new and the old is old, that's talking about a case where it just happens to be lying around and it rained. So it rained, yes, it's sitting on the ground so it could pull nutrients out of the ground, but I didn't plant it. I didn't make a process of where I'm trying to get rid of the old, and therefore, you're right, the old remains intact and the new and the old is old. Okay, so that's the rule that we want to now say. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me a new rule that anytime I go ahead and replant it, that's saying that I stop whatever happened in the past. The old is old. Excuse me. When I replant it, I ignore whatever it was in the past, and everything starts over again. Again, assuming that the new plant is bigger and it's batel beroiv and so on and so forth. But if that ends up being the case, that it's mevatel what's there, so that should be, because I planted in the ground, I start over again. So the Gemara asks, is that rule really a real rule? So you're telling me that any time that I plant it, tarach over here for our purposes means, now it could mean other things than planting also, but it means that I went out of my way to say whatever was, I want to undo what already originally was, then there's a bitul baroiv. Okay, let me give you another example. The halei, Bahare litra meiser tevel, okay, dikotarach. The case of meiser tevel that I had a tirchah. Now this case is a little bit tricky. The case is as follows, and not tricky in the sense, what's confusing is that on the one hand it's meiser, on the other hand it's tevel. Because the halacha is like this. And it's a basic halacha that we just don't think about. The halacha is that even when you give meiser to a levi, the levi then has to give truma to a kohen. Truma's meiser. He has to give truma to a kohen. Or meiser. Truma's meiser. So that means even though the levi has it, and it was already meisered from the original owner's perspective, the levi himself still has a chiv to give additional truma. He has to give a portion of that to the kohen. So that's what we mean by litra meiser. It was already meisered. Tevel, but it is tevel from the levi's perspective. So we're talking about something that's in the hands of a levi now. And the case is the katarach. And the case is he went ahead and he planted that, where it's in this, so to speak, in the in-between stage. Where it is meiser, but it didn't take the trumas meiser yet. Uketani. And what's the halacha over there? Says the halacha is like this: va'oisay litra meiser, va'oisay litra, that ounce, that original piece, meiser alav mimakam acher lefi cheshbon. You still have to take meiser, the original meiser, off lefi cheshbon. So we see that you have to do, and here the case was that you planted it. And you have to only take lefi cheshbon, meaning only depends on how much was you already took and how much you didn't take. And we take into consideration what was already meisered from beforehand. So that's by adding the words lefi cheshbon, you're saying that we only take into consideration what I still need to do. But according to the rule that you just set a moment ago, which was any time I planted, I ignore what happened in the past. I'm, so to speak, getting rid of the past and I'm starting over again. Why am I only doing it lefi cheshbon? I should have to take the whole thing. I should have to start over the whole thing because I planted it in the ground and it, so to speak, gets rid of the old and all we care about is the new. So the Gemara answers, Shani Gabe Meiser. Meiser is different. The Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Aser to Aser. Okay? It says by Meiser specifically, Aser to Aser, you should take Meiser twice. So really, once you, by Meiser, you should take Meiser twice, but we still, Zarecha, it says what you planted. So you have to do lefi cheshbon because it's the Torah itself is telling you, I want you to take meiser again. So since the Torah itself is requiring it, so then that's why you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to take the meiser again. Again, even though until now we always said that once I put it in the ground, I should ignore it and I should ignore the past. Over here, the Torah wants you to take meiser again. And the Gemara then adds one more rule. The hetera zari inchi, isura loizari inchi. That when it comes to heter, people plant the normal thing. So when does this rule apply? That here, this is another way to understand this. When does this rule apply that I get rid of the old? That's only talking about when I had something that was mutter, and I planted it because that most things that I have are heter, and I plant it. So then the Torah wants you to take meiser over again. But normally, people don't normally plant things that are be'etzem usser, that already have the isser. That already have the isser that in it when you plant it. So since that's the pasuk is not referring to when it says aser to aser that you have to take meiser again, is not talking about something that has the isser in it. So since that's not the normal case and that's not the case that the pasuk is referring to, that's why over here you're going to have to do it lefi cheshbon. So this case, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that this case is a little bit different. This case is a little bit different because it's already, there still is an Isser. So since it is the Isser, so the Pasuk that says Aser to Aser is not really the case, is not referring to this Pasuk. It's not referring to this case. That's why you're only going to do it Lefi Cheshbon. It depends on what you did and what you didn't do because it's, you planted it be Isser. If you normally plant be Heter, so if what's already Heter, so then the Aser to Aser works, and then a Hanami, you're going to have to take Meiser over again if you planted it beheter, but once you plant it beisr, so that's not what the pasuk is referring to, and it only goes lefi cheshbon.